Well, it's really my pleasure to be here and introducing two speakers that really deserve no introduction, but I'm excited to be here. In any case, happy May 5th World Hand Hygiene Day today. My name is Ben Park. I am the chief of the International Infection Control Program at the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. I've had the great pleasure of working with Professor Pite and Professor Alagrande for multiple years now, and it's truly been a highlight of our work internationally. There are tireless advocates for hand hygiene and for infection prevention control, and really the world owes a lot to where we are now because of them. And I just want to say to everyone that today is a great day for hand hygiene, and I'm glad to be focusing on this event today. And I think we have a lot of really great information to come from our two distinguished speakers. So without further ado, I'd like to hand over to our speakers, and I believe that Benedetta will be speaking first.
Okay, so thanks a lot, everyone, for joining today. First of all, let me thank Weber Teleclass for hosting this important teleclass, and also Ben Park for the nice introduction which I exchange in terms of our happiness and satisfaction and gratitude for the collaboration for the last many years now. So today I'm delighted to be here with all of you to talk about, first of all, a highlight of the day, which has been the issue of the executive summary of a global report which will be delivered during World Health Assembly in 2 weeks related to infection prevention and control. But before doing that, I would like to highlight that I'll talk about this, and also I will talk about the research agenda for hand hygiene in the field of culture and climate to support hand hygiene improvement. And for today, we apologize. Due to time, we will not talk about the results of a new systematic review. You will see the review published, or we will organize another teleclass soon, but due to time, we are unable to also speak about that. So starting from the new resources that WHO is issuing today, before I speak about the global report, just to flag that in the next days you will find a new aid memoir on standard precautions and also on transmission-based precautions. These resources are being published in the context of the effort that WHO is doing over the last year or so on releasing resources for implementing basic IPC, especially at the primary care level, which we know is a sector where often there is little knowledge about IPC and practices may be less well performed than in other levels. These aid memoirs are intended for IPC professionals, teams, and also frontline health workers. And watch out for then the release in the next month or so also of another one, which is related to the basics for sterilization and decontamination, again, in the context of primary care settings. Today we also issued a new module of the 6-module package we started to issue last year on IPC in maternal and neonatal care, module 4, which is about care of the woman during the complicated labor and childbirth, and it's obviously focusing on IPC practices in this context. Then, as I said before, we issue these days this first global report on infection prevention and control, which brings together evidence from the scientific literature, from various reports and also studies that WHO and others performed, some of which are still unpublished but were cleared for being released within this report. Which provides a a global situation analysis of how IPC programs are being implemented in countries and the around the world, including some regional and country focuses. It highlights the harm to patients and health workers caused by healthcare-associated infections and AMR. It also addresses the impact and the cost effectiveness of IPC programs. And finally, it provides some strategies, resources, and directions available to countries to improve IPC programs and practices. So there are various sections in the table of contents that you can see here, and I hope you will appreciate this effort, which is really meant to support all of you in making the case for IPC, raising awareness, and convincing others in investing to invest in IPC. So within the report, we have some data related to healthcare facility level, which were recently published in The Lancet Infectious Diseases, on a survey performed in 2019, where the major important point, I think, to highlight is that out of almost 4,500 facilities in 81 countries in a representative sample, only 16% of healthcare facilities showed or reported to meet all the WHO IPC minimum requirements. None of these, unfortunately, was in a low-income country. And even in high-income countries, only 11% of secondary and tertiary healthcare facilities meet all the minimum requirements, which I have to say are about 80 indicators, so certainly these are many indicators to be met, but they are important. A much higher percentage of facilities meets 50% of these minimum requirements, 93%, and 69% meet 75% of the minimum requirements. So as you can imagine, there are some minimum requirements maybe more difficult to meet, which then make that low proportion of facilities that meet all WHO minimum requirements. But what is the message in terms of what is better implemented and what is least implemented? So the best implemented core components are IPC guidelines and also availability of equipment, supplies, infrastructure for WASH and IPC according to the minimum requirements, whereas the least implemented aspects among this sample is training, in particular frontline training and also training of IPC specialists. Whereas the other element is workload, staffing, and bed occupancy, which is core component 7, which is very important, as you certainly appreciate. And the point is that during the pandemic, I think we appreciated how much this element influences transmission in healthcare facilities. So certainly it's something that needs to be improved. Moving to the national level, the data from the global database of the tripartite country self-assessment survey about, obviously, AMR, which has a specific component about IPC, these data tell us that in 2021, 33% of countries still had no national IPC program, or they had it only in theory, because they were reporting this program not being implemented in the field or not being coordinated from the national level. Whereas 35% of countries were in the position, in the best position possible, which is to have an IPC program, plans, guidelines implemented nationwide in all healthcare facilities and also being monitored in terms of its efficacy or effectiveness. In the middle, 32% of countries had an IPC program implemented in selected healthcare facilities. We performed a more sophisticated analysis, and we were able to say that high-income countries, according to this analysis, were more than 8 times more likely to have a more advanced IPC implementation status. And also, looking at the data from the same database through 4 years, from 2018 to 2021, what you can see here is basically the fact that over these years, there hasn't been any real improvement, which we obviously assessed with statistical analysis, in particular in low and middle income countries. The only improvement that seems to be significant has been among high-income countries, moving from the before last and the last level, which are the most advanced levels. So improving already at a very advanced level. So this shows the gap, especially in low and middle-income countries. So data that are even more recent from a survey which we concluded at the end of January are about the minimum requirements of infection prevention and control programs at the national level. So before, I was talking about the facility level. So here, out of 106 countries, we found that at the national level, only 4% of countries meet all the minimum requirements. Again, none in low and lower middle income countries. 50% met 75% of the minimum requirements, and 80% met 50% of the minimum requirements. And in this, in the graph, you can clearly appreciate the difference between low income and lower middle income compared to the other levels. In this survey, we found that about 55% of countries reported to have an active IPC program, but less than 50% also reported to have a protected and dedicated budget. 75% of countries have a mandate at the national level to produce guidelines, but many fewer reported that they actually have evidence-based guidelines according to international standards. Education was also defective in terms of meeting all the minimum requirements, as you can see in the graph. And in particular, it was better implemented in supporting frontline staff education, but not in providing education in pregraduate and postgraduate courses. And also, there was a limited percentage of countries, 28%, having a national system for monitoring the effectiveness of training. 83% of countries reported to have a national strategic plan for HAI surveillance, but this doesn't mean that they have a system for HAI surveillance. And good news is that 75% of countries were reporting to implement IPC interventions according to a multimodal improvement strategy, which is certainly very positive. Finally, regarding this survey, looking at the graph that you can see here now, we made a comparison between a previous survey which we published in the literature, performed in 2017 and 18, in 62 countries, compared to similar or the same indicators within this latest survey in 21-22. And the good news that you can see is that there is a significant increase of implementation of some key indicators, such as having an appointed, trained IPC focal point, having a dedicated budget, having an in-service training curriculum, and promoting IPC interventions through multimodal implementation strategies. So these are very good news, certainly probably achieved through the pandemic. The issue here, I think, for all of us is clearly assuring sustainability, because having one trained IPC focal point doesn't mean to have a program. And in fact, there was no change in terms of actually countries having an established active IPC national program compared to 2-3 years ago, and also in having IPC guidelines compared to the previous period. So we need to ensure sustainability, ensure that dedicated budget for IPC is not only for procuring PPE, for instance, which was certainly the case over the last 2 years, but also to fund activities, to fund training, to fund monitoring. In fact, other gaps are shown through the Global Pulse service that WHO performed on continuity of essential health services during COVID-19. And in fact, in these surveys, the first one performed in 2020, 44% of countries indicated that the lack of IPC supplies and best practices, and so lack of trust also by the community in care delivery, was a major reason for essential health services disruption and interruption of activities, but also, as I said, lack of trust by the community. In this slide, you can also see that in 2021, the survey was repeated, and still in a number of countries that are on this slide, critical shortages were reported in availability of essential COVID-19 tools in hospitals across 11 countries. And if you look at the table at the third column, you can see many areas that are in red, and they are related to having all necessary PPE items for COVID care for all staff in hospitals in those countries that are in the list. Finally, the report also highlights the cost effectiveness of IPC interventions. This graph provided for the report by the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, OECD, shows that the most cost-saving packages considered by OECD models for reducing antimicrobial resistance transmission and infections were those which included IPC interventions, in particular improved hand hygiene. And also this analysis demonstrated that all these IPC interventions were affordable in all settings, including countries at lower income levels. In the next slide, you can see for the first time the results of a cost effectiveness study performed by WHO and OECD during the COVID-19 pandemic to assess the effectiveness and cost effectiveness of interventions aimed at reducing transmission of SARS-CoV-2 infection among health workers during the first 6 months of the pandemic. So the first wave, basically, in most countries, where, as we know, all countries, including high-income countries, really struggled to face the pandemic. And there were certainly a high number of infections among health workers. So we tested three interventions. One was hand hygiene, two was scaling up access to PPE, and three was combining increased access to PPE with IPC training on optimal use of PPE and other measures. The most effective and cost-effective intervention was the third one, the combination of the two, which were PPE access and IPC education. It was the highest, achieving the highest health and economic gains. And we estimated that more than 50% of new infections among health workers in Southeast Asia, Europe, and the Americas could have been prevented if these interventions were in place. And one third of new infections in the rest of the regions. In terms of savings, $7.2 billion net savings globally would have been allowed if these interventions were in place. And hand hygiene also proved to be cost effective in most regions. And could have averted about 1 million new infections among health workers. In the next slide, to summarize in the report, we really make the case why there is a high interest in investing in IPC. There are five main reasons. In the interest of time, I will not explain about this. But we think that this visual is quite a good resource for all of us to be aware, and especially to explain maybe to policymakers accompanying with the data that I've just mentioned and other data that are in the report, in order to convince them to invest more. In the next few slides that, again, I show just for demonstration, but we don't have time today, are listed the critical priorities for infection prevention and control in the national and international health agendas that we identified together with other stakeholders and also country representatives for the next years. These go really from establishing functional IPC programs, the minimum requirements, having decisive, visible political commitment and leadership engagement, introducing regulations and legal frameworks, integrating with other programs while having a dedicated IPC program, and embedding IPC practices within the clinical care pathways, strengthening training and education at all levels, also in the next slide, the last three elements, which are surveillance of HAIs and AMR in healthcare, strengthening monitoring, and also IPC and communications. As we saw, this is very important, as we could appreciate about it during the pandemic and being very shocked, I would say, by the infodemic that took place or has taken place during the pandemic. So the data that the global report provides have been also highlighted to member states and to governing bodies in the World Health Organization. And this means that this led to some countries taking the lead to present a resolution on infection prevention and control for the first time, which will lead to the development of a global strategy which will provide the directions to countries and also some targets that need to be achieved over time. So as I said, I will skip the next few slides about the systematic review in the interest of time, and I would like to conclude by giving you highlights of the research agenda for the culture, safety culture, and climate domain that we identified with a technical advisory group, of which Professor Pitté is the chair and Dr. Mitch Schwaber is the co-chair. And basically, we worked over the last 9 months to build upon the review of the literature and also prior priorities and gaps identified for the hand hygiene research agenda. And we identified six domains that we needed to explore to identify research priorities for hand hygiene in the next 5 years. And you see them on the screen, and they are mostly framed around the key elements of the hand hygiene multimodal strategy: system change, training and education, evaluation and feedback, reminders and communications, safety, climate, culture change, and impact of hand hygiene on healthcare-associated infections and AMR in different settings. So in the next slide, this tells you that in the safety, climate, and culture domain, which we went through with the technical advisory group, and then with a larger group of experts from around the world through a Delphi exercise, there were five main areas. One was general priorities for the institutional safety climate. Two was personal accountability and hand hygiene. Three was leadership. Four was patient participation and empowerment. And fifth was the influence on the safety climate by religion, social norms, and traditions. In the screen, in this slide, you can see also the main areas or topics for the research statements that we developed and then submitted to the experts through two rounds of Delphi survey. We don't have time again today to talk about this, but there was also an exercise of prioritization of the five areas within this domain, which you can see in the next slide. And you can see that the institutional safety climate general priorities that we identified was the area that was considered of the highest priority or importance. Then there was leadership, so questions around the role of leaders and more specific questions in this area. Questions about investigating how personal accountability for hand hygiene influences the climate and also is influenced by the climate, the safety climate. Patient participation and empowerment and religion and traditions. So in order of priority, basically, these are listed here today. In the next slide, you can appreciate what are the statements that were excluded. They were mainly in the second domain about the influence of social networks at the institutional level on personal accountability. Then there was a question or a priority on ethical considerations in the development of a patient safety, patient participation empowerment strategy. And then three questions or statements that were related to the influence of religion and traditions. These five were excluded eventually, and so we started with 36 statements, and we eventually have now approved 31 statements or priorities for research in the domain of safety, climate, and culture change. With this, I would like to thank you and hand over to Professor Pittet, who will continue, and I take the opportunity to thank the team at WHO and Professor Pittet and his team for all the support and for celebrating 5th of May today with us. Over to you, Professor Pittet.
Thank you. Thank you, Benedetta. And good morning, good evening, depending where you are around the world. It's a pleasure to be here, and I will follow up on the agenda with the World Hand Hygiene Day, as you can see, slide actually number 33. So let's move to slide number 34, and as you can see here, together with the prior paper that we published in the Lancet Infectious Disease, we published another paper. So we had two papers together, one on the infection prevention and control, and one on specifically the implementation of hand hygiene in healthcare facilities, the results from the WHO Hand Hygiene Self-Assessment Framework Global Survey 2019. You remember that this is the third time that we are conducting this survey worldwide. And as you can see on these slides, we had more than 3,000 facilities participating in 90 countries. And you see the average and overall median score for actually the scoring system. And as you can see, system change, training and education, evaluation and feedback, reminders in the workplace, and institutional safety climate. And as you can see, institutional safety climate had the lowest overall median score, and which certainly is very important, the one associated with institutional safety climate. That was around 55 over a total of, as you know, 100. So this was a very important information for us to consider that institutional safety climate could be the way forward that we could push in the next level. So I go to next slide, slide number 38. What do these results tell us? When employing the WHO hand hygiene self-assessment framework to assess the implementation of the WHO multimodal improvement strategy in healthcare facilities worldwide, clearly this institutional safety climate element repetitively scored the lowest, because if you remember the two previous survey we did, it was already the case. So this suggests that progress in improving patient safety climate has been slower across and within region when compared to the four other elements of the WHO multimodal improvement strategy. Thus, it makes it a priority area to focus on in order to achieve further improvement. Next slide, slide number 39. We decided to go ahead and to say, let's unite, or unite for safety, clean your hands. And that was the reason for this focus on institutional safety climate. And let me remind you how important it is. In fact, every year on the 5th of May, we would like to find a new way to promote hand hygiene and facilities climate or culture of safety and quality through cleaning your hands, but also to a strong quality and safety culture will encourage people to clean their hands at the right times and with the right products. When a facility climate and culture values hand hygiene and infection prevention and control, this would result in both patient and healthcare workers feeling protected and cared for. So we wanted to prioritize clean hands in facilities at all level of the institution to technically improve IPC and hand hygiene and save lives by acting as partners in achieving these appropriate behaviors and attitudes that we want to help to gain. In other words, healthcare workers at all level and people accessing healthcare facilities need to unite on ensuring clean hands. So this Unite for Safety is really the slogan of the year, the slogan we used for the 5th of May. By uniting, working together, and talking about hand hygiene, we can ensure high quality and safer care everywhere. Let's move to next slide, which is the slide 40. I won't go into the details of the slides, but these are the definitions of safety climate or safety culture. You know that it may have a little bit of a different ambience, but let's review it together. And I guess that those definitions are useful. Here it is: organizational environment that prioritizes high compliance with hand hygiene and other IPC practices to achieve patient and health worker safety. First, at the institutional level, with the allocation of resources for hand hygiene and IPC interventions, clear messages of support for hand hygiene from leaders, setting benchmarks or targets, and having hand hygiene champions. This clearly applies to the health facility as well as national level. And then at individual level, which is very, very important, healthcare workers, including policymakers, identifying hand hygiene and IPC as a priority and reflecting their commitment to do no harm to patients. These are, of course, the magic words that we are hearing for many years, but here we want to really insist on those. And last but not least, partnering with patients and patients' organizations to promote hand hygiene and other IPC measures may also promote a climate of patient safety. Let's move to the next slide, slide number 41. In summary, the key facts and principles for the 5th of May this year, but of course, it could roll and roll and roll for years. As you know, we started to study it already 20 years ago, but now we are coming to get better tools and more able to know what would be the impact of improving these. Hand hygiene at the point of care is still critical in all healthcare facilities to prevent a range of infections and to address avoidable burden of disease and antimicrobial resistance. The prevailing culture in an institution impacts patients' outcome, and this is very important and very clear. An organizational quality and safety climate or culture that values hand hygiene is absolutely critical to overall improvement, and using hand hygiene as a key quality indicator is part of the multimodal strategy, which includes embracing the right infrastructure, resources, and budget. A culture that is influenced by performing, displaying real-time actions and behaviors in line with the institution's strategy and goal that include role modeling, you see here a definition for role modeling, commitment to the necessary budget and resources, including of course the alcohol-based hand rub at the point of care, and the co-development of improvement efforts. So we all work together to empower and promote accountability. This also demonstrates leadership and commitment at all levels in the institution. Let's move to slide number 42, which is actually moving to the next item on the agenda for today, which are tools and resources for the World Hand Hygiene Day 2022. So the 5th of May is WHHD, the World Hand Hygiene Day, summarized on the slide. Slide number 43 is looking at journal editorials that we and the team of Benedetta and myself published in the different papers, as you can see, the Lancet Infectious Disease, the American Journal of Infection Control, the Journal of Hospital Infection, ARIC, and so on and so on. All those journals that are, in fact, our partners in this infection control community, and Unite for Safety, Clean Your Hands, the 5th of May 2022 World Health Organization Save Lives, Clean Your Hands campaign has been published in many other journals, of course. Slide number 44, this is a highlight on the paper published in the Lancet Infectious Disease, very important journal for all of us that I encourage all of you to access on a regular basis. Next slide, number 45, question and answers, hand hygiene in the context of quality and safety. You can access the website and you will find actually those questions and answers. Why do we do that? Because many of you are asking questions, and in fact, it would be actually easier for you to access the answers that we provide to those questions on a regular basis. So here it is. What is this year WHO Hand Hygiene Campaign, 5th of May focused on? What does that mean? So what is the slogan for this year's campaign? Is there a relationship between institutional safety climate and IPC, including hand hygiene action? What does the organizational culture mean for hand hygiene? So these are the key questions, but there are many others that you can find the answers on the website. The next slide, 46, is, as you look at the slide, a little boring, but because it's not listing, but this is existing, these are existing WHO hand hygiene products that relate to and support the safety climate or culture. Because, you know, sometimes the safety climate and culture looks like something that nobody understands. But in fact, you need to make it easy. You need to understand it very, very clearly. So, and there are many tools that are related to safety climate or culture. Tips for patients to participate in hand hygiene improvements, tips for implementing a patient participation program information for patients and consumers, hand hygiene and antimicrobial resistance, and so on and so on. You look at those tips, you go on the website, you find those instruments that would help you. Next slide, 47. Tools that support hand hygiene improvement in the context of a safety climate for culture change, a primer for those in healthcare. You can go there, access the website, the line indicated in the bottom of the slide 47, and you can access all those instruments that can be useful for you. The next slide, 48, is the World Hand Hygiene Day main or major poster, if you want to speak about it now, but you know that we can, we have a declination of the poster that is quite interesting. So accessing the website, you get this beautiful poster, Unite for Safety, Clean Your Hands. And then you access the website, and slide number 49, you find, of course, multiple translations of these posters in multiple languages, as you will see, including, of course, Japanese, Arabic, Chinese, Russian, Spanish, and so on and so on. Impossible for me to do the list of all the translations that are available. Go on the website and find your poster in your own language. The next slide, slide number 50. Use of the WHO poster. So they are available in all United Nations language, but this year's suggested approach of taking different people working with or using healthcare is a positive way of engaging them to continue to ensure clean hands. And I will come back in more details around this topic because of, as usual, slide number 51, we actually have these hand hygiene messages to target audiences for the World Hand Hygiene Day 2022 for healthcare workers, for IPC practitioners, for quality and safety leads. And I move immediately to the next slide because each of those slides are illustrated by a poster. So slide number 52, health workers, thank you for leading by example and encouraging others to clean their hands. Slide number 53, IPC practitioners, thank you for engaging healthcare workers to be part of new hand hygiene initiatives. Slide number 54, quality and safety leads, thank you for working with infection prevention colleagues to support hand hygiene improvement. Slide number 55, facility managers, thank you for promoting a quality and safety culture to ensure clean hands. Slide number 56, policymakers, thank you for prioritizing resources, training, and program on hand hygiene. So, slide number 57, people who use healthcare, thank you for getting involved in local hand hygiene campaigns and activities. These were the posters and the illustration that we proposed, but of course you can use your own patients and produce your own poster with these messages. It would be certainly even more powerful at your level and at your in your institution. Slide number 58, the campaign essentials. There is a range of downloadable promotional material. You go there, there is a Zoom background, a poster maker, a flag maker, a selfie board, GIFs, web banners, short animated video. Just simply access the website and you will see you can play with those instruments. Next slide, 59. You can do, of course, your own poster. You see here Jane Doe. Let's say it's Jane Doe. And you have all the steps, easy steps to follow to produce on the website your own poster at the website cleanhandssavelives.org. Slide number 60, Unite for Safety, Clean Your Hands, is the logo and the message for this year. Slide number 61, you see that it is an animated one, and you can access it and use it on your own computer in or in your institution, wherever you want. Slide number 62, for those interested, we can hear from Dr. Anand Balki, WHO Assistant to the Director General, and myself, a video that we made on the World Hand Hygiene Day. You can access it. The website is indicated. The address is indicated on the slide. And of course, it may be interesting to listen to this. Slide number 63, Global Goal 2022, the faces of the campaign. Let's get 1,000 faces in 10 days. The cut down to the 5th of May started 10 days ago. And here is a figure that you probably recognize. I'm sorry, it's again myself. But go on the website cleanhandssavelives.org and actually produce your own poster. Next slide, 64. It's very easy. There are steps indicated here on the slide. You go 1, 2, 3 and do your own poster. Slide number 65, create your own poster now and upload and post on social media. You have all the process indicated on this slide, and I will certainly not go over this slide. It's a very simple way of processing. Next slide, 66, you see the first of the 1,000 faces in 10 days that were actually produced in the cutdown. Benedetta, of course, some colleagues from all over the place, and you can do it also collectively the way we did it in our team, SPC Hugues in Geneva. And you can see here on the right bottom part of the slide, Dr. Tedros, Director General of WHO, who is participating to this campaign. Next slide, 67, hand hygiene feature, a story on WHO pages, celebrating hand hygiene success around the world. You can do it and you can participate. You access the website address that is indicated. And slide number, next slide, which is actually number 62, number 65. And as you can see on slide number 65, there is a story of local alcohol-based hand rub production in Uganda that is written with a picture. So Uganda is a wonderful place where alcohol-based hand rub is produced. So here is a story that you can access. Next slide, a story about integrated hand hygiene activities in Saudi Arabia. Write your story, send your picture, send it to the website, and it will be on your website. Next slide, slide number 70. Slide number 70 is coming back to my outline, which is to say that we are entering in the last issue for today that I wanted to actually describe with you, are the promotional activity and participation from around the world to the World Hand Hygiene Day. Next slide, 71. Look at the faces of the campaign wall. Go on the wall. Go on the website. Simply go on cleanhandssavelives.org and you will see this wall turning every time somebody is adding a photograph with a hashtag. You should use the appropriate hashtag, hashtag hand hygiene. You can add @WHO. You can add hashtag infection prevention if you like. You can add hashtag World Hand Hygiene Day 2022 if you like. But please add at least the hashtag hand hygiene and your photo will be coming. And next slide, 72. You see examples that have been shown these days. There are many, many, many photos that I have seen. Go on the website. Please go access the 5th of May, cleanhandssavelives.org, as indicated on the bottom part of the slide number 72. And you will see, next slide, 73, pictures and photos of many people from around the world and of yourself. Because if you post now your photography, you will find it in a few minutes on the website, moving on the wall, celebrating with others all around the world the 5th of May. The next slide shows you more and more of your friends and colleagues here on the left-hand side, Saraya, Uganda office, Michele Domingo, and so on and so on. Next slide. You see here Rudy Eggers, who is the director of the Infection Control and Prevention Hub at WHO, actually the director of Benedetta in the unit at WHO. The next slide is slide number 76, where you see again a face you know very well. To make a summary, again, go on the website, cleanhands.com. savelives.org. 1. Take a picture. 2. Use the board or poster maker available on the website, cleanhandssavelives.org, slide 77. 3. Submit your poster or photo on the website. And 4. Submit on social media with the hashtag hand hygiene. And of course, the aerobaz WHO. Next slide is slide number 78. So it's a summary. Again, a face that you like. I created my own sort of telling. Let's all unite for hand hygiene. My handwriting is not that good. I hope everybody can read it. It's the way I did it a few days ago. So please do it all. Could all of you do it and send it on the cleanhandssavelives.org? That would be wonderful to see the large commitment to this campaign. Next slide is slide number 79. So slide number 79 is the logo of the so-called POPS, which is the Private Organizations for Patient Safety Hand Hygiene that we created many years ago. Companies participating into the campaign who could help you to actually organize your events for hand hygiene promotion. We could help you by helping and providing tools to you. And here are some examples. Next slide, slide number 76, 77 in this case. 77, you see actually the translations that have been made by POPS member. You see Japanese, Czech, Hungarian, Italian, Polish, Slovakian. There are many, many, many more. Next slide, slide number 78. You see here the posters, all the posters that we created for the different groups are here translated into Japanese. We show you the Japanese version of all those posters. Japanese is not a language of the United Nations, so it's not, the translation is not provided by WHO, but it is provided by the POPS group, which is really important. If you need translation, you go to the POPS group and they will certainly find somebody in the world able to translate in any of the language you are looking for. Next slide is slide number 82. Examples of other advocacy materials that have been created for Japan. You see a different style, a different way of doing it. And you can see produced all over the world under the POPS banner. Next slide, example of other advocacy material. Here you recognize, of course, the technique for hand hygiene. The technique is not changing, as you may understand. But what can change is the layout of the poster. And in this case, this poster is including the layout of this year, 5th of May, Unite for Safety, Clean Your Hands. Next slide is slide number 84. So you will ask to yourself, what is this photograph? This is Professor Pittet in a stadium, in a football stadium. Yes, it is. And actually, you can see the stadium is almost empty. But I can reassure you, the football stadium was fully packed, 3 hours later. And this is at Manchester United, Old Trafford, famous stadium. Because Manchester United football team has decided to make the stadium a model for safety, for hygiene safety. So we are talking about everything that is around environmental hygiene and, of course, from hand hygiene to actually food hygiene and so on and so on. So let me tell you that alcohol-based hand rub dispensers have been installed there. There are more than 8,000, I repeat, 8,000 alcohol-based hand rub dispensers all over the stadium for the players, for the team, helpers, and of course for the fans. Next slide is slide number 85. Here is the official banner. It all starts with a clean kit. And as for those who know football, the number 7 playing at Manchester United is simply Cristiano Ronaldo. Next, so Cristiano Ronaldo, together with other players, are helping to somewhere push hand hygiene in the community. We are not in the hospital anymore, but in order to prevent situations like the one we just survived from during the past 2 years. Remember those players, they couldn't play football. They, even when they could start to play, they play alone in the stadium with no public, no fans. And this is not good. This is not the way we want football to be played. So this is why Manchester United started this huge campaign of making sure this would never happen again. Next slide, slide number 86, just to tell you that we didn't work only with the male teams, we also worked with the female team of Manchester United, as you can see here on slide 86. Let's go to slide 87. Support from around the world, again, is shown here. Sri Lanka College of Microbiologists, World Hand Hygiene Day, 5th of May, Clean Hands Count campaigns, and so on and so on. Next slide, you see here, Turn Nigeria Orange, United for Safety. Wonderful image from Nigeria. Great, great, great promoting material. Next slide, you see here National Training Center from the government of Nepal. Next slide, shown on the next slide, you see it's all in Nepalese, so I cannot tell you exactly what it means. But nevertheless, it's very clear that you can see written in our language, antimicrobial, ethanol, isopropanol, and propanol. So it talks about alcohol-based hand rub that are so useful today. Next slide is, again, engaging in social media. Next slide, engaging again and again in social media. Next slide, you see World Hand Hygiene Day, an example of the Postgraduate Institute of Medical Education and Research in Shadinga. Very, very nice picture. The next slide is showing you the way, again, you could develop your own poster. Very, very important. The next slide, slide number 95, how to get involved, suggestion for healthcare facilities. You can run a virtual hand hygiene cafe. And here is, I don't want to discuss it in details, but clearly you could see exactly how to process it. The next slide, slide number 96, is the how to get involved suggestion for healthcare facilities. I would encourage all of you, you have the slide available, to go for it and look for it. The next slide is Hand Hygiene Word of the Day IDs. You can have your own IDs, your own posters, whether you are talking about moments for hand hygiene, safety, teams, quality, hands, and so on and so on. The next slide is slide number 98. Join the WHO campaign, social media, hashtag hand hygiene, and you see all the different things. Next slide is the 5th of May, more to come. Look for many editorials that we publish together with the team of WHO. The next slide is showing you some of those editorials, and the slide number 101 is summarizing for you the event in the year to come, in particular with the Clean Hospitals Network, the Healthcare Cleaning Forum next week in Amsterdam, and of course the 20th of October, the Clean Hospitals Day. So this was slide number 101, and the next slide is thanking you, slide 102, thanking you for supporting the World Hand Hygiene Day on the 5th of May. I'm looking forward to look at the campaign website, to look at all the material that you all will send to these, so that we all are engaged and united for safety. Clean your hands. With these, I would like to thank you for your attention, and I'm turning back to Paul and to Ben. Thank you very much.
Wow. Thank you, Professor Pite and Professor Allegranzi, for an amazing talk. And I know I am completely energized about the 5th of May and Hand Hygiene Day. All these materials, I've known about some of them, but it's amazing to see how what is available to all of us to be able to promote hand hygiene. And forgive the pun, but you know, there, we can have these campaigns go viral, and that's what we all hope for. It's really quite amazing. And I remember being in many hospitals, and not just Africa, but also even in the United States, we see these World WHO hand hygiene posters up in many different areas, in hospitals and also in other places. So thank you so much for your tireless advocacy. It's really, without you, I don't know where we would be. So thank you again for that. And from my own perspective, I think, Paul, is there anything else we need to cover, or is it okay to close the session?
Well, if it's okay, I'll just mention that there are some teleclasses coming up. The last two slides, there are some lectures that are pending for the next few weeks, some excellent ones. And then on the very last slide, mention of our patron sponsors, Diversey, Virox, Purell, and Gamma. And I'm sorry, Ben, I will let you carry on and give you your closing comments and thanks.
Absolutely. Well, I know we're a little bit over time, so I would just like to say thank you to Weber, and thank you to our esteemed speakers today for what was really an incredibly informative session. And my name is Ben Park from the US CDC, and just really glad to be a part of this. And with that, I'd like to close the session. So thank you very much for your attention and for joining.